Our scripture today is from the Gospel according to Matthew. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then what then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evil, all evildoers, and will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and a gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen."
Shella just gave me this look like, okay. So yes, this is one of those parables, particularly in Matthew's gospel, that comes out pretty harsh at the end, does it not? Matthew tells a lot of parables about what the phrase Matthew uses is the kingdom of heaven. Some of the gospels do more the kingdom of God. In more contemporary language, more inclusive language, we might talk about God's realm, God's reality, what Jesus was trying to bring into the world and into consciousness, our awareness, what was happening through Jesus coming. And particularly when Matthew, we're not sure, but perhaps Matthew adds a little bit more of these explanations than might not be originally straight from Jesus' mouth. So these explanations particularly get a little harsh, right? They make us uncomfortable with the level of judgment and threat of fire. Sometimes we want to ignore these parables because we don't know what to do with them, right? So I've been trying to stay true to the lectionary, as David said, and enjoyed doing some interesting reading, and this is one of those. It strikes me that a parable about weeds is pretty timely. Now that might be because I came back from 9 days of being away, and the weeds have been very happy while I've been gone. So our lawn had a lot of weeds going, and our garden had lots of weeds going, and I've done a lot of work this last week with weeds. And so thinking about weeds, I'm seeing a lot of you smiling and nodding. This is that time of year, right? As I've worked, especially in the bed of native plant pollinators that I got the leftovers from our lovely garden out here, it gave me new appreciation for all the work the committee and Sarah do to make sure this isn't all weeds. But it also made me really aware that it's not always easy for me to tell what's a pollinator native plant I'm supposed to be saving and what's a weed I want to be pulling. And I think that actually might get more into what this parable is talking about. I look at that field, which is below our house, lovely field, and it's beautiful, with all sorts of things growing and all sorts of things blooming, and the pollinators, the bees and insects are very happy down there. And yet I know that if those same plants were growing in my neighbor Joe's yard, he used to run golf courses, or if they grew on a golf course, they would not be liked at all. In fact, one definition of a weed, I think, is simply a plant that humans don't happen to like where it's growing. So, it doesn't say much necessarily that we label something a weed about what its actual inherent value might be. Again, all of this brings us back to this parable, I think. I've always read or heard this parable as a good guys and bad guys parable, right? With the threat of all this final judgment at the end. But as I've done more studying this week, I'm hearing a lot more there, finding a lot more there. Maybe this is a parable about the evil folks in this world, those people out there that so easily cause us so much distress and anger. It's certainly not hard these days to find people I want to label as villains. Not hard to find them in the news. Not hard to find weeds that we'd like to get rid of, just as those farm workers found all sorts of weeds coming up in the wheat. But if it's about that, the farmer, the householder, advises caution. If you jump in there trying to pull up all the weeds, you're going to pull up a lot of wheat, too. Take the long view. Be patient. Let things play out. Wait and see. Don't be so ready to judge who are the weeds and who are the wheat. And who knows what may happen over time as events unfold? What changes might come to people, to circumstances? Are we so sure that we have the perception to know who is good, who is bad, what is good and what is bad happening in the world around us? But I've also, in my reading, come to realize that this is not just about the good guys and the bad guys. This is a parable about the mix of weeds and wheat that is everywhere. The good and the bad in all of us, in the communities we're part of, in our friendships, in our families, and inside of us. We are all a complex mix of motivations and actions. We've all got our fair share of weeds mixed in with the wheat. The householder tells his workers, be patient. Let things play out. Don't judge. Wait and see. I don't think I've told this story here. If I have, forgive me. But several years ago, Luke had a couple of girls that he'd known in high school come down to visit us when he was here at Ithaca. They wanted to see Ithaca, you know. So they came down for the weekend, and one evening while they were here, they got to talking about people they had known in high school, junior high even, and what they're doing now. And the more they talked, and the more they went on, I mean, some of these were kids I knew, and so I was kind of saying, well, what about so-and-so? What are they doing? And but the more I listened, especially to those two girls, I finally said, are you still seeing them the way you did in, like, ninth grade? And they were like, well, yeah, he was a jerk then, he's just a jerk now. I mean, they were totally locked in. And I thought, oh, my God. I said to them, I don't want to be judged for who I was in ninth grade. Do you really want to be judged for who you were in middle school or who you were in high school for the rest of your life? Well, they didn't hear me. But Luke did, and Luke's like, yeah, right. No. I don't want to be seen, again, small town doings. When we went to that area outside Rochester, Rush Henrietta, I didn't realize how small town it was. But a lot of those kids, their parents and even grandparents had all gone to high school together. And believe me, there were people still judging people for who they were 30, 40, 50 years down the road. But we all know, and hope at least, that we change. We grow. We learn. And we know that situations change. And so I think we have to trust that this parable is about saying God is always working. Wait and see. Don't be so quick to decide who and what are evil, who and what are bad. Romans 8:28 says, we know in all things God is working for good. Not that God causes all things. That's not what that verse means. But that in all things, in the midst of all things, God is always working for good. No matter what the circumstances, no matter how bad it may appear to us, no matter how many weeds there seem to be, God's grace is still at work. And then there's that other interesting little bit about Paul the Apostle, who prayed to God three times to remove his thorn in the flesh. Scholars have spent the last 2,000 years speculating what that might have been. But whatever it was, whatever weakness or failing Paul longed for God to remove from him, God's response to him was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." So Paul says, "I am learning to give thanks to God for my weakness, that grace may abound." Think on that one. So I think we are all, as individuals, as families, as friends, as church, whatever human groups we are part of, we're a mix of weeds and wheat. And God's grace is always working in us to bring forth good, in spite of and sometimes purposely using what may seem to us to be our weaknesses and our failings. I mean, it's true, isn't it? Our strengths are also our greatest weaknesses. Both things. What we're best at is also where we're less. It's all true. It's both and. And who knows? What we think is weeds may, in fact, be part of God's purposes in ways we cannot know or see. God can use what seem to be weeds to us for good. God is at work in us and in the world, and God is patient. God always has the long view, and God is constantly working for good, for love, for peace. God's grace is always more than we can even imagine. So faith is about trusting that. Trusting in the grace that can sustain us, can transform us. Trusting in the love that finds us again and again and claims us as God's own, worthwhile, loved. Wheat, not weeds.